Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty along with my brother Brian. It is the last day of the year. We're going to be giving some resolutions for the farm for 2020 on today's program. We'd love to hear yours. Our phone lines will be open throughout the show at 844-442-4743. That's 844-44-AG-PHD. You can also send us an email, radio@agphd.com, or find us on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Brian Hefty, or Darren Hefty. Resolutions for the farm. Boy, we get a lot of lessons that we learned in 2019, a lot of things that growers have been sharing with us from all over the place. One of them was, I'm not going to mud my crop in next year. Yes, certainly a lot of fields got quote unquote mudded in to varying degrees. Basically, it was a little bit too wet to be planting in some cases. In others, it was a lot too wet. What happened quite often was, well, most of the field was pretty good, but there are a few spots out there that weren't so good. And yeah, you sure saw that in a lot of those areas throughout the season that there were some issues going on just from wet feet right from the beginning. So that's probably one of them, is just planting day. The other one, Brian, that I would throw out this year, and then you can add yours, is maturities on corn and on soybeans. I think there's a lot of growers out there that saw, you know, stepping back a couple days in maturity was a pretty good idea this year, and it really worked out well. We had good test weight. We got to black layer. We had drier corn. We had soybeans that got ready on time. There are a lot of positives there, and in most cases, didn't see a whole lot of yield difference. There's a little bit, but not that much. Definitely worth not having all the risk of having too full a season.
Well, you got to be careful with that. And if you're going to make judgments based on this year alone, I think that's crazy. But I always am going to think that's crazy. You can't make judgments based on 2012, the terrible drought year. Can't make judgments based on 2018 or 2019, the flood years. You have to look at, well, what's the average and what are my odds? So if I'm in an area where normally 100-day corn makes it, but for whatever reason this year, it didn't quite make it. Am I going to completely give up 100 day? No way. You've got to spread your risk a little bit. So anyway, it depends a lot too on what you want your corn to be at the end. Do you want it to be 27% moisture for high moisture corn? Do you want it to be 22 like we like it, to pull it out of the field and dry it and maximize yield and minimize field loss? Or do you have to have it down to 16% so you can haul it right to the elevator? I mean, that's one of the most important questions that you've got to answer in the beginning. For me, Darren, my resolution is spend more money. And I'm only going to throw that out there because right away, some people are going to get mad. Some people are going to be shocked. Some people are going to say I'm dumb. But here's where I'm going with this. I want to spend more money, and I want to spend it more wisely. We know that there are a lot of things that we give up, a lot of opportunities we give up on the farm because we don't scout as often as we should, because we don't do as much soil testing as we should, because we may not realize, hey, what is the economic threshold for that weed or that bug or that disease? So where I'm going with this is I want to be more closely monitoring things. And if it reaches the economic point, or I believe it's going to, then I want to be very willing to pull the trigger. And that's what I mean by that. So it's not necessarily spend more total dollars, but it very well could be. I do think we just have a lot of chances to increase yield and increase profits, but we don't do it because we say, well, I don't know, I think it might be too expensive, or I don't really know, or like I was saying, the worst case is we just don't even realize we have a problem out there. And all of a sudden we get to harvest and we go, uh-oh, looks like white mold took 40 bushels off my yield. Uh-oh, looks like that bug damage was a lot worse than I would have ever guessed. So I just want to get smarter.
All right. Other things, Brian, here's one that I heard quite a bit. You guys are always talking about that drain tile and doing it in crop. Yeah, I'm not going to get it done in the spring, but I'm probably going to have to tile in crop. And I would say our return on investment on that has been really good. Early season when the crop is short, we're doing minimal disturbance, at least getting the main lines in so you can run some laterals in later. It sure takes a lot of the work out of it. that you'd have to do in the fall. So you got a lot less pressure later on in the season, and you can start seeing some of the benefit right away, especially if that main line runs right through the worst part of your field, which you could certainly do that in your design pretty easily. So I think the tiling is one of those things that it's going to be a New Year's resolution for a lot of farmers. The other thing, Brian, this year, there were a few guys that skimped on seed treatments, and we preached it over and over again. Don't skimp on the seed treatments. Make sure you're at least doing that, and maybe you can cut costs later on. There were some guys that sent pictures this year and are like, yeah, it didn't turn out as good as we thought.
Okay, last year, it was, I don't remember if it was the last day of the year or it was 30th or whatever it was, but it was the last week of the year. We had a radio show and we said, basically, what are you going to cut going into next year and what are you going to keep? And there were several people that said they were going to cut seed treatment. And we both said, you can, but you're taking a lot more risk now. And sure enough, 2019 was one of the best years you could have ever used seed treatment. And so what we talk about a lot of times is you can hit the home run. And literally in 1 year, like in 2019, there were some of these seed treatment things that paid $50 an acre. Okay, well, that's enough to pay for the seed treatment for not the rest of your life, but for the next 10 to 20 years in some cases. So the point is, if something can be that big a return, and on average, it's going to pay, then we want to do it. So anyway, I'd really encourage you to look at that. And probably the number one thing I'd suggest for you is learn how to read a soil test. If you don't know how to read a soil test, make 2020 the year that you learn how to read a soil test. You know how to do your own fertility recommendations. That's one of the biggest things in my mind that separates the really high yield farmers from the rest of us is they just look at their soil tests. They know how to read them. They know what they're looking for. They know what the targets are. They know what they're going to put out there. And they do this all themselves because they figure, hey, nobody cares more about my farm than me.
We're hearing your 2020 resolutions for the farm on today's program. You can call us at 844-44-AG-PHD to share yours. Stay tuned.
Using N-Serve Nitrogen Stabilizer with fall fertilizer applications keeps nitrogen available into the spring for maximum crop growth. Field trials in Iowa show N-Serve delivered an average revenue increase of $22.96 per acre, and N-Serve is the only recognized nitrogen stabilizer product in the Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy because it reduces nitrate leaching. That's max profit in an environmentally sustainable way. Calculate your field's profit potential at nitrogenmaximizers.com.
We know balanced crop nutrition pays. AgriLiquid has the research, technology, and products you need to grow a great crop, plus the expertise to give you a recommendation based on your soils, your fields, and your goals. AgriLiquid has the phosphorus, potassium, and micronutrient products necessary to deliver the best results from a solid fertility program. Visit agriliquid.com to find a dealer near you.
Bean growers continue to see yield loss from white mold across the Midwest this season. To maximize next year's crop, a white mold prevention strategy that includes Contans WG soil fungicide is a must for your farming operation. Applying Contans this fall to reduce the sclerotia in the soil is the most effective way to stop white mold at its source. Start a Contans white mold control strategy this fall or pay for it later in lost yield.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
It's the last day of 2019. I'm excited about that. I'm really ready for 2020. This is Ag PhD Radio. We're hearing your 2020 resolutions for the farm. We talked about a few of the things we're thinking about going into 2020, and definitely some of the most popular ones we're hearing from listeners, but we'd like to hear from you as well. Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD if you want to share your 2020 resolutions. Let's head to those phone lines. We got Zach on right now in Iowa. Zach, how are you doing today?
Hey, pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. All right, 2019 in the books here after today. What are some of your resolutions going into 2020?
Oh, I think one of the things, bean management, I think planting our beans earlier. We've done a little bit of that the last couple of years, and we've seen really good yield results, and so try and do more of that. Try and get all of them as early as we can, and maybe doing more fungicide on beans.
Ooh, those are good ones. Those are good ones. And fungicide prices came down this year too, which is pretty exciting. And even some of the top line products out there. So that's going to be easier to do when you see what the price point is compared to last year. I want to talk about that planting beans earlier though, Zach, because this is something I'm trying to get Brian more on board with our farm. And obviously he would love to plant everything early.
Are
you going to plant some before you plant corn?
Well, I'd like to, obviously. Logistically,
see, that's now Brian's shaking his head, Zach. You can't see that. He's shaking his head at you and at me because I agree with you. I'd like to put a field or two in first.
We have two planters, so we can do some beans early, but I'm not going to plant beans before corn because I'd be way ahead of the crop insurance date. We can start planting corn April 10th. We can't start planting beans according to crop insurance.
Right, but how many years are we planting?
70% of the time we can plant before April 25th, maybe 80.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's
my number one concern. How early do you guys get going?
I mean, bean-wise, end of April. That's what I'm thinking.
Last
week, April. We only have one planter, but we do have a neighbor that's been planting some right away that has two planters. And so, I know we're kind of evaluating, should we get another bean planter to do it? I mean, we've been noticing 10 bushel from our first planted to last planted, and I don't know. I have some neighbors that for years they've been doing it. Everybody thought they were crazy. And you know what? They got really good yields. And more people are starting to do it and finding that out as well. I mean, obviously you want to treat them and, you know, take care of them a little better. But we've been noticing higher yields planting earlier beans around here.
Yep. So. Yeah. You're not the only one. We're definitely hearing that. The planting date is really important on the soybeans as well. How about on other things you're doing? Anything different you're doing with manure? You doing any conventional crops? Anything that you'd say, hey, this is something I want to work harder on next year?
No, conventional crops. We're not really doing any of that around here. Manure wise, you know, this is kind of a silly thing, but checking, you know, the waters and stuff, that makes a big difference in your quality of manure. You know, if you got a leaky water and things like that, something to keep an eye on.
Sure.
But, no, nothing. I think other than that, we've had a good program, for manure and stuff. So.
Yeah, well, I like your thought on the beans. I think that's a great way to kick off our show today. We're talking with Zach down in Iowa. Zach, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on, and Happy New Year to you.
Hey, you too.
Let's head up to Michigan right now. It seemed like the only thing they were farming up where Dick's at is mud this year. Dick, how'd you turn out in 2019?
Well, not too bad, but not too good. But it's hard to believe once you drive in snow when you get off all the clay off the tires. They're still black underneath.
Huh. Well, there you go.
Haven't seen the black tires all year.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. What a year this was. No doubt about it. Okay. So my brother was saying, well, you can't change too many things based on one bad year, but, are you going to change anything based off of 2019? Do you have any resolutions for next year?
Oh yes. Really rely on soil tests.
Okay. Tell us more about that soil test thing.
Well, when it calls for fertilizer, we have a lot of animal manure. So when it, you know, we can rely a lot on the animal manure, but for starter fertilizers, we have to use quite a bit.
Okay.
To get it going.
Need some starter in addition to the animal manure. We're hearing that a lot from guys too, that they saw, did you see streakiness or what's giving you that clue?
Yes, there is streaking. You can see quite a bit.
Okay.
And anywhere that if you utilize any wood products in your bedding, that really burns up a lot of nitrogen for decomposing the wood fibers.
Yes, yes. We would testify to that, too.
Yeah, which we're short on, like straw bedding or anything, so we utilize a lot of wood fibers, and or now this year we're making a lot of corn stalks.
Yep, yep. Yeah, we saw that, too, on our farm, Dick. I'd agree with you. Wood products in the bedding definitely tie up nitrogen out in the field. We're talking to Dick up in Wisconsin. I think I might have said Michigan before. Sorry about that.
Well, we're close.
you're close, I guess. You can get there pretty shortly. But talking about 2020 resolutions, so relying more on soil tests and understanding you're going to need some starter in addition to just manure, that's a really good one. What are some other things you're picking up on that you're going to do for 2020?
Also shortening up the maturity dates on corn and beans.
Yep. Hearing a lot of that.
It's just the weather, we really haven't many days into the 90s, and it's been cooler. So you need warm ground to really move the corn and the beans along.
Yeah, you know, okay, talk to us about this then, Dick. Let's just say you get a perfect spring, which is going to be a miracle if we have that, but we have a perfect spring. We can get in on time. The ground's dry. Maybe not shortening up in that case, but just with the odds the way they are, it looks like it's going to be wet. We may plant a little late. You think shortening up is going to be a smart move? Is that pretty close to accurate?
Well, yes. The only thing I noticed, even planting corn later, with smaller maturity, you know, getting down into that 80-day, you plant later, the corn is taller. That's hard to believe.
Yep, yep. No, you're right about that. You get taller corn when you plant late. I know a lot of the silage guys are really happy with how they turned out tonnage-wise. Some weren't. I mean, it didn't turn out for everybody, but I know there were a number of guys that we've talked to this year that have said, boy, we planted late, the crop got even taller, and we turned out okay.
Yep. Well, we just got done chopping corn, silage corn, the 23rd of December.
Wow. That's a long year. That's a long year.
It was just too high a moisture to try to dry it. It was in the high 30s.
Sure.
So
sure.
What do you do? I mean, I've been farming 50-some years, and this is the first time I've ever seen a year like this.
Yeah, yeah. You think you've seen everything by that point, and just about that time we have 2019.
Well, there's every day a guy should learn something. And this year we learned every month.
Yeah, yeah. You never stop learning on the farm. That's absolutely for sure. Well, Dick. Hopefully you guys get some drier weather here going into the spring. Because did you end up rutting things up still out there, or is the ground hard enough you're able to get through?
No. When we took off the last month, everything kind of froze up where we had maybe 4 to 5 inches of frost and a nice layer of snow on top.
Okay.
But now over just 2 days ago, we got another 2 inches of rain, and that doesn't help. So, but most of the corn is off up here. A lot of beans left.
Yep. Yeah, it's the harvest that just never quite finishes in a lot of areas of our country, unfortunately. We're talking to Dick up in northern Wisconsin. Dick, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on.
Thanks. Take care. Have a happy new year.
You bet. Happy new year to you as well. We are making 2020 resolutions for the farm. We'd love to hear yours, and our phone lines are open if you'd like to join the discussion. It's 844-44-AG-PHD.
Find your full potential and increase your bottom line with branded generic insecticides from Atticus LLC. Unwanted insects are a nuisance, but they're no match for Serpent from Atticus. Serpent delivers economical, fast-acting, broad-spectrum control to help your corn, soybeans, and wheat crops thrive. Growers across the region count on Atticus for relevant and reliable products that deliver results every time. Ask your local retailer about Atticus products and visit AtticusLLC.com to learn more. For value-based solutions you can trust, turn to Atticus. Always read and follow label instructions.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic has proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
You know a healthy crop is required for your best results. Simply put, balanced crop nutrition pays. AgriLiquid fertilizers have the research, technology, and products to deliver those results. We also have an outstanding team of field agronomists ready to help you with your fertility decisions. AgriLiquid can help you maximize your yield potential effectively and economically. Visit agriliquid.com to find a dealer near you.
When it comes to my weed control, I know a head start can go a long way. That's why I spray early, so I can keep control all season long with a Roundup Ready Extend crop system, the system that makes the difference. This is my field.
Choose the Roundup Ready Extend crop system for control of more weeds than any other soybean system. Featuring Extendamax herbicide with vapor grip technology to manage tough-to-control weeds, including up to 14 days of soil activity, along with the field-proven performance of Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Now you have the right tools to extend your weed control and extend your yield with the system that makes the difference. Learn how you can put the system to work in your field when you visit RoundupReadyExtend.com. Extendamax is a restricted-use pesticide. Performance may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Check local regulations for specific requirements in your state.
Your independent spirit is more rewarding than ever before. Unlike programs that require growers to purchase a particular seed brand or to bundle certain products, the FMC Freedom Pass program rewards you for making the best choices for your fields. Our exclusive agronomic rewards, performance assurances, application innovations, and product financing make it easier to protect your crops and cash flow. Visit your authorized FMC retailer or FMCFreedomPass.com to calculate your potential financial incentive and learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're broadcasting from the Morton studio today, and we're taking your calls all throughout the show at 844-44-AG-PHD. We're getting your 2020 resolutions for the farm, and coming out of 2019, if you've never made resolutions before, good chance you're probably making some going into next year. Let's head north of the border. We've got Cody with us right now up on the Saskatchewan-Alberta border. Cody, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Well, that's great. You starting the New Year's celebration a little early?
No, gosh, no. probably later on. It's my wedding anniversary, too, so it's kind of
awesome.
Whammy, more or less, yeah.
Well, happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
So how many years is this for you?
It's going to be, 2007? Yeah, it's been going to be does that make it about 12, 13 years?
Awesome. That's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah. All right, so you managed to keep it together on the farm this year. It wasn't the easiest 2019. Tell us about your farm resolutions going into 2020 or some lessons you learned this year.
Well, I guess it's we've been in this kind of, you know, cold harvest ball in the last, probably 3 years or something, where we've had some pretty late harvests and, you know, just more or less rains and everything at harvest time, and it's degraded the quality of our crops and everything. But I guess what we did change up this year, we went to straight cutting all our cereals. We were always, you know, windrowing everything before we harvested, and so just straight cutting it, well, it's preserved our quality a lot more, and we were able to make our harvest a lot easier, you know, that way.
Yeah.
But I guess my biggest resolution, more or less than anything, and what I did last year and I'll probably continue to do this year, is to try and, you know, use more early maturing crops and everything because of it. Like, I grow my wheat varieties, probably one of the earlier hard red varieties that you can grow, and probably put a little more barley in again, and, you know, grow some earlier maturing canola varieties. Like, we I guess that was, you know, going on to what I learned in 2020, in 2019, we'd had some new particular canola varieties that were supposed to be pretty decent and everything, but I didn't put in very much of it, but I know a lot of neighbors did, and it didn't lend itself very well to the awful harvest conditions that we had, and trying to get it dry and the green content to get out of it was pretty tough or whatever. But yeah, this next year, well, we won't tend to put that same variety in, that's for sure.
You bet. Yeah, you got to learn those lessons on the tough years, and that's good to make note of that. You know, one thing I was thinking about it, I know we had talked to you one time about field bindweed. How'd you turn out with that this year? Was it tougher than normal this year, or was this year a good year to get it under control?
Honestly, I didn't see it in the crop. I put it to, I went and I seeded it all to oats. And I put the oats in at about 3 bushel to the acre. And we did a good burn off on it with some glyphosate and some, I think I did put some Express with it or something like that. So that's like tribunerin and whatever. But did that and seeded a good and heavy. And we did a pre-harvest application, a Roundup on it, and straight cut it. And yeah, like I never seen it there at all in the spots that where it was, or I guess apparently was. They'd taken an oil lease out of there previous year, and on the field bioassay that the oil company had done said that they'd seen some field bindweed in there and showed a picture of it. But I went back to that spot and I couldn't even see it there and throughout the field, and that like it, those oats, they sure made a nice canopy and choked a lot of that stuff out of there, I guess.
But, you bet. Yeah, getting that early start and crop canopy, you're right, is better than any herbicide application that we're going to make in most cases. That's good.
Exactly. And the oat yields were phenomenal this year, so I was very happy.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that's good to hear something worked out in 2019.
Yeah. Well, really most of our yields were as far as like oats and wheat were phenomenal yields for like my kind of poor soil and everything. My hard red wheat was, 55, 60 bushel, and oats was, probably 130, 40 bushel an acre kind of thing. And canola wasn't as good as it's been in the last couple of years previous. Like our canola yields have been on an upward swing in the last number of years just because of improved genetics, and guys are a little more free to put a little more fertilizer on. Like before, you never would really see a huge advantage on a lot of the open pollinated canola varieties to get a good yield, but now with these hybrids and genetics, now we're able to put a little more fertilizer and get a little bit more bang out of our buck kind of thing. So it's been decent that respect. And I mean, we're in a kind of an area where we kind of would go between, dry through the late 80s to probably the start of the 2000s, where we're pretty dry. So, I mean, to try and get a 40 bushel wheat crop was kind of tough, but now, I mean, if you're not hitting a 40 bushel wheat hard red crop, well, you're kind of on the lower end of yield. So yeah, it's like anything else. It's every year there's always improvements, and guys' farming practices always get a little better, and we've just been getting a lot more rain lately, so we can get away with that kind of stuff too. So
absolutely. Well, I know we talk about it here a lot too. If you've got moisture in the ground and you're in a dry area without irrigation, you got a shot going into next year. So good luck to you, Cody. I really appreciate talking to you. Thanks for letting us know about this year. And happy anniversary as well.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You bet. Let's head down to Texas right now. I've got Wade with us on the phone. Wade, how are you doing?
No, I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Good. So we're talking 2020 resolutions for the farm. Anything you learned this year or new things you're going to be looking at for 2020?
Well, I learned that, when you do have some moisture, it's a lot more fun to play the game than when you hadn't for years. So it was a blessing and a curse, but we're going to be all right this year, and looks good coming into next year because we've got underground moisture, and hopefully we'll get a little bit more here in the winter.
Yeah, you know, that's something in some areas of the country that they just kind of take rain for granted. They don't realize as you come west and you get to some of these drier areas, and then, of course, you guys have a little more heat to deal with than what Cody does up in Canada. It makes a big difference if you can start the year with a little bit in the ground.
Oh, yeah, and especially when you're a sandy soil like we are, it's really tough to get that start, you know, going. It's just good thing to have that underground moisture there, because we can't hold that much in the sand anyway.
So in your area, Wade, is it a lot of no-till or reduced till then to try to fight those dry conditions?
Well, we tried that years ago, and we can't really afford the moisture for a cover crop like a lot of guys do up in the Midwest. But what we do is we'll come in with – we went back to going in with wheat before cotton and – harvesting the wheat. The wheat we harvested in June is still there. We don't do anything with the stubble, and we leave it, and we'll plant cotton to it here after probably the 1st of May this next year. But keeps away the erosion, lets us build up some underground season, and so it's a pretty good program that we got going there. And then we'll come back after that cotton, usually with some peanuts, and then go back to corn. So let's keep it a kind of a 3 or 4 crop rotation there.
Yeah, yeah, crop rotation for a lot of folks that have gotten into just a corn bean rotation, they see the benefits of that, just a broadleaf and a grass. But you're right, when you can use multiple crops like that, you can really spread things out in terms of weeds and bugs and just all the risks that you're taking out on the farm. Well, Wade, good luck to you here going into 2020. Thanks for calling in. We really appreciate talking to you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Have a good year.
Bet, you as well. Yeah, it's really exciting looking at 2020. We've talked about some of the things that we're kind of fired up for on our farm, just getting some of those inputs taken care of here on the last day of the year, just before the calendar year ends. Looking at some of the new options that we've got with crop protection and seed traits and different things, and getting inputs locked in, and that gets us fired up about the next growing season. We'd love to hear what you're excited about and hear your 2020 resolutions. Give us a call at 844-44-AG-PHD.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
Every farmer knows that in order to be profitable, you need to maximize the return on your crop input investments. Hi, I'm Scott Harms, an agri-risk specialist with Grain PhD. Without an effective and flexible strategy, your grain marketing plan gets stuck in the mud. With Grain PhD, you get the clarity and guidance a solid marketing plan needs. Our free GrainBridge software simplifies your cost-profit analysis, and our risk specialists are here to help you develop your plan. Sign up today at grainphd.com.
Build with the best. When you choose Morton Buildings for your next farm storage building, you'll experience the Morton advantage at every step, starting before the walls even go up. Since the value of our buildings is in its ability to protect what you have stored inside, we ensure that every component is researched and tested to withstand the elements in all weather conditions. And we back it up with the strongest warranty in the business. Looks better, built stronger, lasts longer. Learn more at MortonBuildings.com.
Customer service goes a long way when trying something new. Ryan Shaw from Michigan shares how Soil Warrior helped him transition to strip tillage in his operation.
The Soil Warrior guys, they are amazing to work with. They made this jump in this transition extremely painless. One question that I get all the time is, how is the service and everything? And I said, well, actually, I get better service from them than I typically do my dealers uptown. They're just amazing.
More info at SoilWarrior.com.
Your grain bin fans can cost you a lot. High electric bills from running when conditions are not ideal, shrinkage from overdried grain, and spoiled grain all take money out of your pocket. With the Steps GMS app temperature humidity switch, get your bin fans to start making you money. Only run vans when the conditions are right. Eliminate shrink and spoilage in your bins. Deliver grain in top condition at market moisture. When every dollar counts, you need Steps GMS. Contact us today at StepsGMS.com.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Bellum is Rotem North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Bellum. For more information, visit bellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
Back, you're listening to Ag PhD Radio. It's our final show of the year, and we're giving 2020 resolutions for our farm. We'd love to hear what your resolutions are going into next year. You can give us a call at 844-44-AG-PHD if you'd like to talk about that. And of course, if you have any agronomic questions, we would love to hear those as well. You can give us a call, or you can email us, radio@agphd.com, or find us on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Brian Hefty or Darren Hefty. Set down to Southern California. Have Antonio with us right now. Antonio, how are you doing?
Good afternoon and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well.
I'm doing great, thank you. I have a question for you guys. I'm a small farm, about 20 acres. I'm actually a new farmer. I'm still learning as I go, even though I've been into it for a few years.
Okay.
I have land in the high desert, Newberry Springs. It's north of Barstow. A lot of alfalfa and pistachio farms around me, but I'm finding I'm having a lot of luck with yellow peaches, white peaches, apricots, apples are growing well, but the soil out there, and you know, I'm also very low budget. I'm kind of, as I grow something, sell it at the farmer's market, I put money right back into the farm. I haven't taken a loan or anything, but we're getting it done. I heard you talking about soil testing and how to read it. That's something that I really need to do out there, because it's just desert. I'm pouring on triple 20. I have a couple hundred chickens, so I'm using the chicken fertilizer, and I also have a dairy down the road where we're using the cow fertilizer. But I just noticed on the, and it's working well, but I just think I could probably get a little more out of the trees, because when I look to the west, I have Visalia, you know, I have the central county there, and I watch their young trees growing twice double the rate that I have. So I'm just wondering if you have a soil tester for somebody like me that would that you would suggest, or just take it to one of the scientists out there.
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with the labs in Southern California. I am very familiar with a lot of them throughout the Midwest and much of the central part of the United States and eastern part. I don't know exactly who the best is in California. We ourselves deal with the largest lab in the United States. That's Midwest Labs out of Omaha, Nebraska. I think they do over 10% of all the soil tests done in the entire United States. But anyway, we like them just because we are familiar with them, and just because the most people talk to them about them and, you know, about their data. So more people are at least on the same page when we talk soil testing, because there are some different methods and some different levels you can look at and that kind of thing. But you could get a test done from any lab out there. And if you wanted to, because we're only talking 20 acres, so you're not talking a lot of samples, you could even split a sample and you could send one to Midwest Labs. It costs $26. It's no big deal. And, you know, to whatever your local lab is there. But I guess in terms of how to read the soil test, we put on Ag PhD soils clinics every winter. Now, unfortunately, we're not doing one in California this winter. We're doing the only one we've got is in South Dakota. You could be online for that if you wanted to. But otherwise, we've got all these clips on YouTube with past Ag PhD TV shows where we talk through all the aspects of soil testing. So if you watched enough of those clips, you would catch most of what we would have in the soils clinic. But it's really not that difficult. I mean, in one day, I usually tell people, I can teach you how to read a soil test. You can make your own fertilizer recommendations, and at least you're going to be headed down the right path. Now, you may not be the soils expert of somebody who's got 50 years experience or anything, but you're going to be able to do a lot of good things. And so one of the first things that I often think about with trees is potassium. Now, if you ever listen to our show, you hear me talk about potassium all the time because it's super important in all crops, but it is right. One of the things where with tree groves, we do see dramatically different girths every year. Just like you were talking about getting double the growth potentially, well, that could be it. It's most likely some fertility thing. Now, certainly you have to do the right things for moisture, obviously, in your climate and, you know, using irrigation and all that. But I'm just saying the fertility thing is huge. So it allows the plant to better utilize the moisture it gets, and then you'll get better growth out of all that. So anyway, if you do get some soil tests, we'd be more than happy to take a look at them for you as well. So just whenever you get these soil tests done, just send them to us, and we could certainly talk to you about that too.
Well, I appreciate it. That answers my questions. It seems like I do need to go to a lab. I wanted to see if there was something I could do at home, but I will Google nope. Midwest labs right now and get some soil tests out to them right in the beginning of the new year before they start to bloom.
Yeah, and you know, in terms of anybody out there doing their own soil tests, you absolutely could. I mean, it's not that difficult to get all these reactants and everything else, but the problem is, I mean, unless you're on a really big scale, it's never going to pay for you. You're going to spend way more time at it, and you're going to spend all this time learning. You don't know if the data is right, everything else. As little as soil test costs, especially when we're talking a 20-acre farm, even if I was going 1 acre yeah. grids, I mean, you're not going to spend that much money. So I just use Midwest or yeah, one of the labs in California and go for there. Right. No big deal. All right.
Right. Well, no, I appreciate that very much. That's very helpful.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for the call, Antonio, and good luck in 2020.
Absolutely. Have a great year. Thank you.
Yep. You too.
We'll see ya.
Set up to Ontario. We've got Jim with us right now. Jim, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Good. What's happening on your farm?
Well, I want to upgrade my planter this year. I have a mechanical planter with resistant plant and heavy downsprings, and I want to go to a larger one. Most of them are vacuum planters. And do you think the vacuum planter does as good a job as a mechanical planter?
Well, you know, all of these planters will do a good job. It's just learning how to operate it and make adjustments. And the biggest thing is just being willing to take some time, make some changes, get out, do some digging. You know, this is one of the things that we've been talking about for our farm, and this is probably one of our 2020 resolutions here, is we're going to do a better job with our planter. We're going to get our most knowledgeable guy out of the tractor and behind our two planters, making sure that the other guys are getting the job done and doing it well, doing some digging and coaching our folks on how to make those adjustments as we're going through the field.
Well, that's one thing where I lack. I don't think I get out of the tractor enough. So, but what I do is go and dig up my neighbor's fields. The guy that grows the big yields, I'm digging up his seeds more than I'm digging mine up.
Yep. I like to do that too, Jim. I dig up my brother's seeds. I don't put them back in the ground either, but I do dig them up.
Hey, so Jim, when you bring this topic up, what are you hoping to gain here? I mean, when you look at, let's say, your neighbor's fields or anything, are you just thinking that your stand is not where it should be and that's why you want to change, or it's just you need to go to a bigger planter and you can't get mechanical, you really feel like you have to go air?
I need to go to a bigger planter, but I want population spacing is critical for me. Yep. And I have been walking the neighbor's fields with vacuum planters, and I see skips and doubles, and
yep.
And my old mechanical with the precision units does a pretty good job. So
yeah,
it's kind of a trade-off. But I think I'm going to go to a vacuum. But I just wondered what you thought.
Yeah, you can absolutely get the vacuum planters to work well, but I agree with Darren 100%. A lot of it is just how
Whoa, did you get that on record there? Brian just agreed with me 100%. Jim, that might be a first on the show.
Darren jokes around all the time, but we agree on about 98% of stuff. And sometimes, even when we agree, just for fun, I'll argue with him. But anyway, the point here is the vacuum planners are really good, but there's nothing out there that's going to be perfect, number one. And number two, there's just so much variation in terms of how you can set things. And then let's take this one step further. A lot of the really high yield guys talk so much about just the seed that they buy and trying to get some consistency with the seed. And then, of course, making adjustments based on the field conditions. And see, one of our challenges here, and I don't know how it is in your farm, but I'll go in some of our ground where it's real heavy, and then we get some light areas in the field. So the field varies within the field, and that's what makes it even more challenging in terms of setting the planter.
It is where I farm, too. I agree with that 100%.
All right. Well,
you
hey, Jim.
Have a happy New Year. 2019 was the year it kept on taking here in Ontario. So.
Yep, same thing here. Well, happy New Year to you, Jim. Thanks for calling in today. Stay tuned. This is Ag PhD Radio.
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
White mold and sudden death syndrome are two of the most important fungal diseases in soybean production today. But did you know 40 to 50 million acres in the north central region are affected annually? When every season has different disease challenges, the question becomes, how can you ensure the best start for your soybeans no matter what? The answer is Heads Up Seed Treatment. Trusted by growers across the Midwest, Heads Up offers a new mode of action to prime your beans to help fight fungal disease. For more information, visit headsupst.com.
Revitech fungicide from BASF has been specifically developed for the selective soybean grower who doesn't compromise. If you think good is good enough, if you're okay with just achieving rather than overachieving, if average is your goal, this is not the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide, brand new chemistry, 3 no-excuse modes of action, 0 modes of compromise. Sounds like the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide from BASF, that's smart. Always read and follow label directions.
If you're like most farmers, you start thinking about next year's herbicide program right now. And the first step to a clean start next spring is applying Authority MTZ-DF herbicide this fall. Nothing burns down tough winter annuals, including common chickweed, henbit, and mare's tail, like a tank mix containing Authority MTZ-DF herbicide. Talk to your FMC Star retailer about Authority MTZ-DF herbicide, or visit fmcauthority.com. Always read and follow label directions. Authority is not registered for sale or use in California.
How much yield did you lose the moment you planted your seed? Introducing the Germinator Closing Wheel from Farm Shop MFG. Designed and built by a farmer tired of seeing yield loss from poor stands, the Germinator gives your crop the strong start it needs for maximum yield. Visit farmshopmfg.com.
Tired of that old warped poly boom ruining your spray applications? Express Boom from Hypro is a fully assembled stainless steel boom that ensures an even application of chemicals every time. Don't wait another season. Upgrade today. Hypro, helping you spray better.
As your corn crop grows and the ear begins to form, potassium is at a high demand, almost as high as nitrogen. The same is true for soybeans, with similar high demands of potassium during pod fill. Don't fall behind. Ensure your crop is getting its potassium with Catalyst. Catalyst by Actagro has been shown to be the best at entering the leaf when compared to other leading potassium products. Visit k-supercharged.com for more information.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, making 2020 resolutions for the farm, coming out of 2019. You're probably thinking, oh man, the world is ending in 2019. It kind of felt like that on the farm for a while, but we managed to get through, and here we go. Tomorrow's 2020. We're excited about it. We've got a number of things we're going to do on our farm that we're already planning. Just curious what your 2020 resolutions are. You can give us a call at 844-44-AG-PHD. Let's head down to Kentucky. We've got Eddie with us today. Eddie, how's it going?
That's going fine, Darren. How are you?
Good, good. Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you. Happy New Year to you and the family.
So 2019, fun year, not so much for a lot of farmers, but heading into 2020, what are you thinking? Anything you're going to change or any lessons you learned this year?
Well, I think I'm going to add some more tile. We've been tiling for the last couple of years, and it seems to be paying pretty good dividends, so I think I'm going to bite the bullet and tile the rest of the farm for 2020.
There you go. Now, did anybody in your area say this isn't going to work for you, or, oh, it's a little different around here?
Well, no, I really don't. I really don't pay no attention to the naysayers. I just actually, after listening to y'all's show, that's really what got me thinking about tiling. The ground's been in my wife's family for years, and it had the old clay tiles in it back in the '60s.
Sure.
And a lot of those were stopping up and blowing out and whatever. So I just bit the bullet and started tiling a couple of years ago. In the first year, I saw pretty good dividends. So I'm going to bite the bullet this year and just finish the rest of the farm out, and then I can move on to something else.
You know, that's pretty cool. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you for sharing that story. I'm curious about the tile. Are you pattern tiling, or have you got enough hills that you're kind of just putting it where you need it? How are you doing it?
Now, this is all river bottom ground, and we're in a floodplain, and I have to pick and choose my times. As a matter of fact, this October, the guy that tiles for me is a good friend of mine. I told him, I said, just as soon as the crop comes off, you get in here, get the tile lines in. And we're doing beds every 30, 40 feet apart. And the reason for the quickness is that the river floods down here, and I sprayed it scour out my tile where they backfilled.
Yes.
And just luckily, we've had three floods since he did that, but luckily it had settled long enough that I was down there checking them the other day, and it didn't scour out any of the dirt. I was afraid I'd have 3-foot ditches all the way down through the fields, but luckily in a floodplain, I learned that pretty quick here. You got to get to whatever you're going to do in that ground done early in the fall, or wait till late in the spring to do any kind of work in the ground at all.
Yeah, we've got some river bottom ground. We know what you're talking about. That time has got to be, you got to be hustling when the ground is fit and it's time to go. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
So how'd your crop turn out then this year? Were you happy with things, or?
Yeah, pretty much. The we went into a drought in the fall, and the beans were up on the ridge ground, and they were a little late, and so they suffered. But the corn was down in the river bottoms, and other than the drowned out places where the tiles weren't at, we had a really, really good yield in the corn, but the beans wasn't so hot. So we're looking to hopefully Mother Nature will be kind to us next year, and we can, reverse that trend. So, but overall, I'm satisfied with the year, with the challenges we had. We had the early rains, and then we had the fall drought to where we were needing the rains on the beans at the right time, and the landowner said that the rain just kept going around the fields where the beans were, and I knew when I looked at them that they were going to be pretty challenged, and they definitely were.
Yep. Yeah, it was quite a year in 2019, no doubt about that. Well, Eddie, hey, good talking to you. Really appreciate the information about the tile and how that worked. It really made Brian smile to hear that. And wishing you guys a happy new year and best of luck going into 2020.
Same to you, and look forward to a really good year in 2020. Thank you, Darren.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
All right, since we are talking about resolutions, one thing that I try to be thinking about every year is assume you know nothing. In other words, start over with a lot of your decisions. Cost no money at all. But I would just say all the decisions that you are making based on, well, we've always done it that way, just assume that it's dead wrong. Now, you might go through all your analysis and figure out it's absolutely right. I'm not saying it's actually wrong, but I am saying there is new technology all the time. There are cost changes all the time. So in other words, there are certain fertilizers that cost way more and some way less. There are certain herbicides that cost way more and some way less. Rebate programs, a lot of things to take a look at. In addition, should you be trying, let's say, some biologicals, or as we call them, natural products? If you haven't been using insecticide in your crops, should you be? How about fungicide? I mean, just literally go through as many decisions as you can over the course of the year and assume it's dead wrong. So this is just, again, an exercise that doesn't cost anything. But when you stop and just step back for a little bit and take a look at, okay, well, what if I was to do that different? What are other people doing? What are other people successful with? I mean, talk to other farmers in your area. Talk to the really high yield farmers. Study up on all these things. And, you know, you might find one or two or three or five things where you go, maybe I should start trying some of that differently. I'm not saying do it entirely different on the whole farm. But if you have a better idea, a better way you might be able to do something, it might make you some more money. And that's our goal all the time, is to help you be more successful on the farm. We want to help you raise more crop, do it more profitably, and have it be even better for the environment, have it be healthier, have it be more nutritious, have it provide great benefits for the planet. So, I mean, just a lot of ways to do things on the farm. And, you know, even you can start at like tillage. I mean, there's conventional till, there's no-till, there's strip-till. There are a lot of different ways to do things. And you have to look at each system has positives and negatives. So let's just assume that whatever system you're running, again, I let's say it's completely wrong and start from there. So prove to yourself every decision you're making, is that the right way to go? And one of the big things that our dad always talked to us about is the $100 an hour job story. He just said, guys, if you want to ever be successful on the farm, you got to try to find jobs that'll pay you $100 an hour or more and do those jobs yourself and pay somebody else to do the $5 an hour jobs. And so I want you to look at how you spend your time. Are you doing $5 an hour jobs? Are you doing negative $50 an hour jobs? Or are you doing $100 an hour jobs? And when you really start to analyze this, there are lots of $100 an hour jobs you can do on the farm. Absolutely. If you just simply start running the math. And where I'm going with this is, I mean, it can be as simple as doing your own tiling. Okay, what's it cost for the equipment? You know, even if you had to hire a couple of people to help you. Well, I mean, run through the numbers. Okay, how are you spending your time? Everybody has the same amount of time every single year. In 2020, you'll have the same amount of time as you had in 2019. None of that's going to change. But what can change is how you spend your time, and ultimately, it can dramatically change your profitability on the farm. So I just encourage you, take a look at all those things. Maybe everything you're doing is perfect, but hopefully, you can find some things where you can make improvements to it. I know that's what I'm going through right now myself. Trying to figure out how can we get better? How can we be more profitable, do our jobs better every single day?
All right. Brian had a question come in for the Ag PhD mailbag. If we got time to jump into that.
It's the mailbag.
This one came in from Jason. He said, you're talking about what you would do different. This year, we seeded perennial ryegrass, swathed it in August. Then it rained 29 times on the swaths until they were covered with snow. So we didn't even get them dry enough to combine. It's all still in the field. Was thinking that if we can get these swaths picked up in the spring, we might try and grow perennial ryegrass again. We're wondering, what would you think about a desiccation and then straight cutting it so we didn't swath it and leave it on the ground?
Yeah, and you know, the biggest concern I have with desiccation is what's going to happen with the seed quality. So if it's just for forage, that's one thing. But you also have to take a look at what is actually labeled. And I don't know for perennial ryegrass.
He's talking about diquat.
Oh, yeah. I don't know off the top of my head if that's labeled. As long as it's labeled, I don't have any big issue with it, as long as you follow the label. But again, like in our case, we're going to have some ryegrass that is for seed. Well, anytime anything is for seed, you do not want to use a desiccant because you're taking a lot of risk in terms of hurting the seed germination.
Thanks for the question, Jason. Really appreciate it. Thanks to you for listening all throughout this year. Really had fun in 2019 talking to a lot of farmers all over, and hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening today, and be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.